Okay, Siman Kuf, we're in Siman Kuf Nun Ches. We did Sif Beis yesterday, but we didn't do the Mishnah Berurah yet. Mishnah Berurah is a cut and test. Okay, so if a person eats less than a kebaya, so the Sama say that you should wash your hands without a bracha. Atam. Mishum delinyan tuma, pochus and kebaya, ain't no makabal tuma, made a raisa, below yatama, hayadayim. So an item which is less than a kebaya, tuma sa'echlim, that food that is received tumah, it needs a kebaya's worth of food to receive the tumah, and therefore, even if your hands were tummy, they wouldn't really be mekabel tumah. Therefore, l'chein yeshar lerma de gamal l'tila l'gosel. We could argue that there's not even a chiyuv on the tila. So that's one side. Why do we yes wash then? Oh yeah, sure. Kibin the linyan birchos of mozen chashiba achila. Since regards to the benching, kazayis and upwards needs is considered achila. The kaimel on the mevorchin birchos of mozen al kazayis. You have to bench on a kazayis. Chashiba gam linyan until sedayim. Therefore, below plukachom to count them when they made their tikkun, they did not differentiate and they basically tied. Whenever you get a bench, you're going to wash. Can you tell the below yevorach? The bracha and a kavus on the tila. So what do we do? We have arguments both ways. So you wash without a bracha. Now we measure a beya kebeya. When we get to Hilchus Pesach, and we get to how you measure the shiurim over there, so there's a discussion when you measure a kebeya. Do you measure when we're preparing it to an egg? It means an egg with the shell or an egg without the shell. So if you reach the size of a kebeya, even without the klipa, that definitely would be chayiv. Now, so that's pachas mekebeya. Sif Gimel comes along and says, what about pachas mekezayis? So the Sif Beis was more than a kezayis, less than a kebeya. Sif Gimel says, what about if it's less than a kezayis? If you eat less than a kezayis, there's those who argue you don't have to wash at all. Because really, less than a kebeya, we shouldn't wash because there's no dintuma unless the kebeya. But we're arguing that we're going to tie it to, like we said, basically, whatever you bench, you wash. We're not benching on less than a kezayis. So why are you washing? Okay, give you sif kat and yud. Pachos me kezayis. The zelo chashiba echila afanyin berchaz amosin. It's not considered echila in regards to berchaz amosin. Hinei atas posik came the dinner, the ain't sarach latila. So this yesh v'shaimer, the taz accepts that halacha l'maisa. So you have, we're going to make a lineup over here. You have a Taz, a Bach, and a Groh on one side. But
don't make a line, what?
A lineup, two sides.
Why don't you make a line?
Because that they argue that less than a Kazayas, you do wash, but you don't make a bracha. Well, it would be proper to be machmer. Okay. Medav the shir kazayis to tzarch latilo kliyama hu af im hoye meferurin dakin mitstarfin. Even if it's little crumbs, doesn't mean a piece which is a kazayis. It means you're eating pieces which will add up to a kazayis. That for sure is you're going to have to wash. Again, we're not talking about one piece, which is a kebeya. It can be pieces which add up to a total of a kebeya. Once you reach that's the amount you're going to eat, you would have to wash. Let's say a person drank some whiskey, and it's very sharp. So he just takes something in his mouth to sort of like soothe the mouth from the sharpness of the whiskey, of the drink. So later on, we'll see in the halachas of Iker and Tuffel that scenario you're eating, not eating the bread as for a bread function, you're eating the bread as a mouth cleanup function because of the whiskey. So over there, if you eat it like that, which becomes secondary to the drinking, so then you're not eating as bread, you don't come out make a mitzvah, you don't have to wash, even though you're eating a kebeya. Some say, no, the ma'isa, once you're eating bread, you have to.
Like with the overly sharp herring.
Okay, so we're in Sif Katan Yud, Sif Gimel Sif Katan Yud, towards the end of the Sif Katan. So that your rabbi brings along these two opinions. So we have an argument that you don't have to wash unless it's his eyes, period. We have the Gra, the Rashbats, the Bach, and the Taz. You don't have to wash any case. And over here we have a second argument, because you're not eating it as bread, you're eating it just as a way to soothe your mouth from the sharpness of the whiskey. So it's less than a kazai, it's a little piece that you don't have to wash. Okay. Now take a look over here. Do you have a footnote over here with Kosso Akharinim? Yeah? Well, because you have a Dirsha Mishabura. No, okay. So there's a Mishabura later on, which Mishabura says that this is hard to keep track of. You know, it's not worthwhile to get involved in this, using bread for this purpose, because, like, well, maybe you would do a mind for that you like the bread is, you know, I mean, if it's a bread, I'm enjoying the bread as bread at the same time. What your kavanah is, etc. Now, take a look at the Sharetzi and Tess.
What? Enjoy the bread and what?
If you're eating that only for the reason because you want to use it to soften the sharpness, then the bread is secondary, and you don't have to make a moitzi, you don't have to wash, etc. If you have any intent for the bread as bread, then you have to wash. So how do you know what your intent is? That's very hard to keep really decide that. So it's better just to stay away from the whole thing, Mr. Brewer says. Okay, take a look at the Sharetzian and the cotton test, which goes back to Mr. Brewer's sip cotton
saying,
test.
Stay away from the bread, stay away from the schnapps.
No, it's the schnapps you
what
can
are you
have.
Staying away from?
I would say stay away from the schnapps, but whatever, you know, what do you want from me?
Okay. No, he says stay away from eating the bread for that purpose. Okay.
I wouldn't call it schnapps.
Now,
schnapps is something different.
Now, in sip cotton test, the argument
really I don't think Mr. Brewer actually says, you know, that it's whiskey that he's drinking.
Yain sorv.
Does he say yain sorv? I didn't see.
Yeah. The case over there in Reshid Beis.
Not here.
He just says the matzah harif is hashtiya, but the case
it could be vinegar, whatever. He's
right. Same in the case of the Reshid Beis, he matches whiskey.
Oh, okay.
They call it yayin sarif?
Yeah.
Burnt wine?
No,
burning
fire. Yeah, they
fire water.
Like the Indians have fire water, we call it fire wine. It's the same idea.
Right, basically.
Okay. Right. Okay. So
purely from
he quotes the Gra in Sukkot and Tess, and the Gra says on Shirka's eyes you wash the Tila Medina Uber Brach. See, the Machaber brings that lesson about you wash that a bracha, but the Gra himself holds you wash with it. So I'll give you a scenario where this comes up. Is Seder night. So the same halacha that's true over here applies to something that you dip, a fruit or a vegetable which you dip into liquid. So we wash the Seder night, we wash for karpas. So because you're going to dip it, but you eat less than a kazayas. So there you don't make a bracha. Let's say a person by mistake made a bracha. Not an uncommon situation. A guy goes over and washes his hands. No bracha. Next thing you know, bracha touch, we'll get a melech, we'll share something, right?
Yeah.
I've actually seen it happen. The guy says, no bracha. Bracha touch, Hashem, we'll get a melech. Whoa, how'd you do that?
It's called habit.
Yeah, so you made a bracha. It's like this. So the way we're reading it, if you eat less than a kazayas of that vegetable, everybody holds the bracha as a bracha levatol. If you eat a kazayas, according to Gra, you have to make a bracha. According to Machaber, he brings the Yeshua Shomer, you're not going to make a bracha. So what's better? Should you eat a kazayas? We don't eat a kazayas by carpet. You eat less than a kazayas. We're not going to eat less than a kazayas. For a halachic reason. But you have to balance it out. But vis-a-vis the bracha levatola issue that you have right now, I'm not explaining the reason I chose to not to get involved in right now. It's too complicated to me. Thank you for your help. Okay.
Thank you for my what?
Help. Okay. So, but now I have a bracha levatola issue. If I don't eat a kazayas, I had a body in bracha levatola. If I eat a kazayas, so according to Gra, it wasn't a bracha levatola at least.
Right.
So it makes sense in that situation, the way I understand it. You should eat a kazayas by your karpas.
Okay.
And maybe this way the bracha won't be a bracha levatola, but you still will not make a bracha karno.
Oh.
Okay. Okay.
As long as you're not machmer and just skip the whole seder and go right to the mighty there, then it's just to be machmer, you know.
Okay.
Or you just do Pesach Matzah.
Especially if you're very hungry.
Or you just do Pesach Matzah more. I mean, that's
right. You could directly wash for that. You know, but
yeah,
that,
yeah, once you wash, you made a broth.
I mean, I had a scenario like this, a local Maisa scenario, where a person was traveling by car, Erev Pesach, from New York to Cleveland. He broke down in the middle of Pennsylvania.
Once his car broke down?
His car broke down. And there was no... It was their Chagga weekend, the spring Chagga weekend. He broke down. If you've ever taken the eight Route 80 from New York to Cleveland, that goes through forested areas where there's nothing there. Just like, you know, this. He broke down about you know, 100 miles away from civilization.
Yeah, that's horrible.
And all he had with him was Pesach and Mazonos cakes. He didn't have any matzahs with him. He didn't have any grape shots with him.
So much for four courses.
So the Maisa, the Psak, which you know the Rav that we're dealing with Cleveland, you know, we discussed it. The Psak which that the Rav gave him was that he should wash and eat enough cake to be prepared suda and say the Kiddush on a Moitzi. So his first his hamoitzi was also his. It wasn't yertz matzah, but he was yertz the din of kiddush because it wasn't.
He did this in the middle of nowhere.
And there was a little 30 room motel. Mm. These little 30 room motels, and he'd be able to get some fruit and stuff like that. And he had it. And
he was stuck there for 2 days.
He was stuck there for 2 days. Yeah,
she'll never forget that.
You know, something to tell your kids, okay?
That's more Alenu, baby.
Sif, darling.
Alenu.
In Uncle Dover, now, so somewhere we've been talking about eating bread. Now, the Mechaber deals with other items. In Uncle Dover, shetibula be'echad mishiva amashkim. If you eat something which you're going to, a food which you're going to dip. Now, this is not only limited to peiros or to vegetables; it also applies to mazonos. So, if you're dipping your cake into your coffee. Right, you would have the same issue. You're dipping it into a liquid. So, what are the liquids that Halacha recognizes? What are the seven liquids? The simon for the seven liquids is yod shochat dam. Okay, so the yod stands for yayin. The dal stands for dvash, which dvash means
dvash devarim or dvash.
No, it means nectar from the dates. Then the shin stands for shemen, the ches stands for cholov, the tes stands for tau, the dalad stands for dam, and the mem stands for mayim. So the Ramah points out the hainu, yayin, dvash, shemen, cholov, tau, dam, mayim. Veloni snagev, and the item that you dipped, you did not dry off before you eat it. If you're the main yod of the noigus, even though your hands are not going to touch where the liquid is, tzarech latila b'loi bracha, you have to wash without a bracha. Even though you're only dipping the one end and you're holding it from the other end, so it's not the liquid is nowhere near your hands, you still have to wash without a bracha. Now I wanted to the shabruz. I want to see sif hay together with this, just so we get a clear picture of the two together. Let's see sif hay, and I'll go back to the mishaburas. Hanotu yod of the peiros erez megasei rocha, a person who washes his hands for fruits which is not dipped in liquid. Just, I'm very machmer. I wash my hands of all fruits because the kohanim had to wash their hands for fruits, right? Because they were eating truma that applied to any truma they would eat, whether it's a truma of an apple or an orange, which only did a bottom, but it's truma that they would have to wash everything, whether it was dry or wet. So a guy says, "Yeah, I'm going to do the same thing." Well, because I weren't masak in that, so you're a gasei ruach, you're a balgaiv. You're starting to get the Chazal's official title of being a gas ruach, of being a very, very puffed up person.
By doing what?
By washing for fruits?
Washing for fruits which are not wet. It was not. Now, that's if you're washing them because you think there's a halacha requirement. If you want to wash your hands off, they should be clean. I'll give them to hate. I don't know, that's not a problem. Now, if you have roasted meat, which has the liquid starts coming out of the meat, comes out in it. Yesh v'shanir mi dvor of alpisham moyel tefeich alov dinu kaperis. It has a rule like Peiris. This halacha Peiris that you don't have to wash rinse. And again, something which is made, you would have something made out of a cream of wheat, a cream of farina, spaghetti, etc. Even though there's liquid on it, if there, the liquid is not there, we will see in the Mishabura that the derech is, since derech is eat, most people don't eat spaghetti with their hands, so it might have a different halacha. But theoretically, you'd have something which you would be eating with your hands, some type of an item like that, but since it's dried already, it has nothing like Peiris that you don't have to wash for it, and if you would wash for it, you'd be considered a bal gaiva. So washing for Peiris alone is not a problem. You should not do. Washing for Peiris, which are wet, that's the siftal that he says that you're mechuyev to do. Okay.
Are you even mechuyev to wash for Peiris that are wet?
Are you even mechuyev? The Mechaber says it's tzarech l'tzilah b'lebracha. We'll see the Mishnah Berurah with, there's some people who argue. But
only
we will see.
Nowadays.
We shall see. Okay, a lot of Mishnah Berurah over here. Sivkan Yud Aleph. Dover. So this anaphil yorek, Peiris u'bosh, so this applies equally to vegetables, it applies equally to meat. It's not limited only to Peiris. Now again, the Mishabur is going to say later on that if the derech is Mishabur will bring an opinion that the derech is to eat it without touching it using a fork or a spoon. If that's a derech to eat it, so it gets a different halacha. But some people eat meat by hand, you know, pieces of, you know, some, depending what type of meat it is, they use their hands. So it would have liquid on it, it would have this halacha. Now, v'albagav the alperis lo titnu nesilas sedayim. Like we saw in Sif, hey, there's no din of tzilas on Peiris. Awesome, Peiris, awesome, lo titnu me a dime. The point is that Chazar were in Misakin that the Peiris get a din tumah from the hands. Because in the order of tumah, how tumah works, so there's primary sources of tumah, they're called avasatumah. The primary source of tumah, they're called an avatumah. An avatumah, the thing which an avatumah touches, becomes a rishon. First. Rishon could be food or drink. It could also be a person or a keli. A person or a keli could only accept tumah directly from an avatumah. This is also thing as a non-avatumah, a person becoming tameh, or a keli becoming tameh from a non-avatumah. A few extraordinary exceptions in halacha by paraduma, etc., whatever. But in general, that's the assumption. Now, if that that's that rishon l'tumah, which is could be again either person or a keli or a food or drink touches food or drink, they become a sheni. A person cannot become a sheni. A person is a rishon touches another person. The person is tor. A keli, which is a rishon touches the person. The person is tor. Keli touches the keli. It's tor. The chazar masakin. That's it. When it comes to chulin, it can't go beyond a sheni. So if this item, which is a sheni, touches something else, it's tor.
So wait, forgive me for interrupting, but this whole idea that hands are shady.
We're going to get there.
You're now, saying it's impossible.
One second, let me finish. Please, just be patient. Truma can become a shlishi. So something which is a shani will touch truma, the truma will become tome, it'll be a shlishi. Truma cannot become a ravi. Kachu can become a ravi. Paraduma has no limit. It could be a chamishi, a shishi, a shvi. So when it comes to dealing with anything, to do with the process of making the paraduma, they require a level of tahara, which is way up there.
Are you saying paraduma means the cow itself? Or
no, the process, anything which is used in the process of preparing the paraduma has to be totally pure.
You mean the water or the
only, any keli which you use, the knife that you use, the clothing that the kohen is wearing, everything involved in that
that's
whole process.
That's mezaraisa.
No, it's all derabanan.
I just didn't remember anything in the Torah saying about paraduma.
No, it's the derabanan. Okay, so now the Chazal came along and said that stam yadayim are shniyus hayin, that a person cannot be a sheni, but Chazal put a din of sheni on a person's hands. So now if he touches truma, the truma becomes tame, because truma can become a shlishi. Chulin doesn't become tame. But Chazar Masak, and since by Koyin, since Truma, the hands which are Shani would make Truma Tomei, and Koyin always has to wash his hands for any Truma because his hands are Shniyim. Shniyos. So now they're going to make any truma that he touches, whether an apple, an orange, whether it's wheat, whether it's whatever, wine, whether it's oil, it'll become tummy, and you can't eat it anymore. So he has to wash his hands. So we're misakin that Yisrael will wash his hands also. Stop. Now Chazal came along and said another takana, that when something which is a sheni touches a liquid, the liquid becomes a rishon.
Yeah, how do you go up?
Right, so that's Chazal's takana. I don't want to get involved in the why for now, but that's the din. So now,
to get rid of a tummy is enough just to wash your hands?
No, well, for tumas yadayim, which is tumas yadayim is drabonin, because those are things only your hands being tummy, the rest of your body being torah. That doesn't exist. For that tumah, Chazal said you remove it with washing.
So the whole thing is a gezera. The iser and the heter is a gezera.
Everything is drabonin. They also are masakin that when a hand which is a sheni, or anything which is a sheni, touches liquid, the liquid becomes a rishon, including hands. So now, if I have liquid on this fruit,
and if you put a glove on your hand, that would be okay too.
Maybe we'll see as we go along. We'll discuss about gloves later on. Okay, so now my hand touches the liquid on the fruit. The liquid becomes a rishon. Now the rishon makes the fruit tame into a sheni. That's possibly my chula. So that's why we're saying if the fruit is dry. So what your hands are shading, touching fruit. So the fruit says, the fruit says to the hand, like, ha, 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 you can't do anything to me. I can't become a shlishi. I'm chulin, right? I'm not truma. And again, we said the eker reason why, because our masakin was because of truma. They were more worried about bread than worried about anything else. But so that for other payers, that's gaser ruach. But once there's liquid on it, liquid can become a rishon from a sheni, which was backwards, right? But that's how it works. So now they can make the fruit, even chulin will become tummy. So we're going to argue over here. Oh, payers will titan tizadayim. Hasim payers atzmal nitum yadayim. You can't make payers tummy from the yadayim. Why? Yadayim shni yosein. Vein sheni osa shlishi bechulin. Once you have liquid in it, when yadayim touch the liquid, they become a tchila, they become a rishon. So once that's going to be true, the hands will make the liquid tame, and the liquid will make the fruit tame. So therefore, you have to wash your hands. Other items which have liquid on them. That's why it's only if they have liquid on them. The fact that you dipped it before is irrelevant. It has to be still wet. So if you take your grapes out of the fridge, and moisture, they're nice and cold, so then the moisture builds up on the grapes, so that's like towel.
Condensation.
The condensation, right? So now you have a problem, your grapes are wet, so dry them off. Right? Okay, so now you have to worry about it, right? Because they're dry. You know. So if you take your carpet, you dip it, then you dry it off, you don't have to wash, right? That's not the point. The point is to wash. Okay.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
I mean, it's not technically relevant today because we don't have kachim, but I thought there was an issue about destroying kachim. So you're saying that if my hands, which are only a sheni latuma midrabanan,
okay.
Actually,
it's a good question. I don't want to get involved in it. But the Gemara actually raises the question. Because we have an issue to be mastered kachim, and we have an issue of tumah. So what do we do? So actually, you don't destroy it based on you can't destroy it based on that. You can't eat it, you can't destroy it. But eventually, it'll become nicer, and you'll destroy it because of that.
But you're saying that so effectively, you are destroying perfectly good.
I'm not destroying it. The issue is to destroy it. There's an issue of destroying something. I'm not destroying it. Because what
you wouldn't be over Baal Tashkas? You're essentially refusing to eat perfectly good rice, a perfectly good kachim, because of a sheni latuma on hands that doesn't technically even exist rice?
That's the power of the chachamim. Yeah, because I felt it was worth it.
We'll talk about the first day of Rosh Hashanah when it comes out on Shabbos.
Yeah, the chachamim were pretty powerful, yeah. So they take the and the goal isn't to eat it when it's wet. The goal is to wash it. Should be clean. Okay. That means the mice. There's liquid on it. However, some which is not normally made wet. And it happened to be this one time it got wet.
And the juice from the fruit doesn't count as one of the mashka.
No, fruit juice is not considered as the mashka. Except for by maybe by grapes. The mitzvah of shchicha he will gossip
with a boy. Because yayin doesn't have to be fermented; it could be just liquid.
It's grape juice. Right. Yeah. Any kind of grape juice is technically wine.
So that would be a problem.
Okay.
So when you're eating grapes, what are the chances of eating a pile of grapes and not one of them being?
Okay, we'll see. We'll see. We go on.
Highly unlikely. One of them being
washed. Okay, but Tobel Betzwa B'mashka, when the person dips his finger and then sucks it off his hand. And it starts until you get the Maisa, that's Tome, right? The Tisudayim was Shtias HaMashkin, because they were not Masakin, Tisudayim for drinking liquids. Period. Bechaj Mishim and Mashkin, Alasharmin and Mashkin, and Ischotim and Aperis, Enam Cheshim and Mashkin. Other liquids which are squeezed, any other fruit juices, to not have a halacha of a mashka for this purpose. Okay. I'm sorry. Dvash, I made a mistake. Dvash tomorrow. I'm talking about honey of bees. Below shall tomorrow. Right. Mashal minachar. Not fruit juice. Okay. I got that wrong. I'm sorry.
I think it's when it's in the Torah. I think it means dvash right. Tomorrow, but not.
Okay. Now, kasu apoyskim called mashkin shenikrishu. If the liquid, however, has coagulated, ben al yedei bishul, ben al yedei tzina, whether because of cold or whether because of cooking, achein b'hem tefech amanas latviach l'chashim b'mashka. So the definition of being wet in halacha is that, let's say for argument, you have a liquid here, and you have a liquid on one hand, and you put your second hand on that liquid, that the second hand would be moistened enough. If you take the hand and put it on a third item, that item would become wet. So it's tefeach. It's there's liquid on it, which is enough that it'll make something else wet after it's touched. So there's enough liquid here that can make the hand wet enough to make something else wet. So if it's not that wet, it's not considered wet in halacha. So example would be relevant when the halacha is when you wash your hands, you have to dry them. How dry do they have to be before you eat bread? Halacha is if a person washes and doesn't dry, we'll see later on, that's considered like you're taking the water on your hands and putting it onto the bread. That's a problem. How dry does it have to be? Shouldn't be tevech amnas latviach. It doesn't need perfectly bone dry. It has to be enough that it wouldn't moisten something else. Okay. So that's not considered a mashka anymore. Okay. With dasa toisus, shefil chozo ni moichar hakak. So this item has hardened, and then it's softened again afterwards. Now, when it says ice, it doesn't mean freezing in the sense of like water becoming ice. It means because of the cold, it hardened. Like you put honey out in cold, it becomes a whole different thing because of it hardens. The Tosafot says once that's true, even later on, if it melts again, it softens again, it's not a liquid anymore. Zulus yayin or mayim. So, with the exception of wine or water. Same thing with my milk. If milk froze, when it softens again afterwards, it's another mashka. So this is very relevant by ice cream. Right, what's the status of ice cream? So ice cream is a solid. Yeah, but when the ice cream starts to melt, it's now you have a piece of cake with ice cream on it. If the ice cream melts enough that it's a liquid, so now it's over, which has liquid on it, you have to wash your hands. Unless the derech has eat it, we'll see if the derech eat it dafka with a fork. You know, there's a lot of discussion on the status of ice cream.
You're saying some people say the status of cake is the
other thing. What? So we'll see later on. There's a heter if the derech is not eating with the hands. I keep mentioning it because we'll get to it later. Not tonight. We'll get to it. So, over Shabbos, just walk around like this, please. You know, the hands up, you know.
No cake.
Cake-free. Don't make sure your hands don't mess anything up.
Wash your hands first, come on.
Fizim or kachas ha-matukim b'dvash. So you had a type of a food which you fried it, they would fry it in the honey. If the honey hardens, by the cooking process it hardens, you can eat it without washing. If it didn't harden, so now dasa taz the chashim mashka. The taz says it's a mashka. Dasa magen rum the chashim mashka. Kim and shayim the dvash is elachila below the mashka. Shem oichel up. It's called an oichel, which is what they argue. Some argue that the magen rum would apply to the ice cream because ice cream you eat, you don't drink.
It depends. If the ice cream melted.
Almost so even then they don't drink it. Okay, but chayyot mechiriyah the yesh chiluk bezet. So like this. So chayyot comes with the following pshara. Deim kana hadvash, when he bought the honey, v'dayin huma urav bashayva, it still had the comb in it. It had the wax comb in it. V'hiticho al manas kein l'kedel tagen boi. And then, so how do you get it out? So they would heat it, and by heating it, the comb would liquefy, and then the two of them would separate. The honey and the comb would separate by doing that. I think the comb is lighter than the wax is lighter than it goes to the top. So you heat it, it goes to the top. It means you made it into functional honey for the purpose of using it to cook with. So when it became a usable liquid, it was already intended for the purpose of cooking. So he says that if it never got a din of a mashke, because since its function is always going to be for eating purposes, you're going to use it for frying, therefore it never got a loch of a mashke. Apparently the people would make the honey med is like a fermented honey drink. And they sell honey on the side also. You do a shemet hatkin kedei lasses mashke. They do it to use in their drinks. So the til sedaim apal gav them shemet hatkin by oichel. Even though you use it for frying, but it started out as a mashke. Okay, it started as a mashke, so it remains with the lach of a mashke, and you have to machmer like the taz. V'ayim eder chachaim shekos. So the oichel hamerkachas like a mazlik. If you eat it with a fork, yesh lahakol then start til sedaim. But that much you can make. Well, if you eat it with a fork, You don't have to wash. We're talking about using honey. But if you use sugar, sugar is not considered a mashka, and that would not require a tila. Okay. Now we say oil. So we find a parallel to this halacha by Shabbos, the mashal, that if a person squeezes out a lemon to be used with a food, it never gets a lach of a mashka. A person squeezes out to use it with a liquid. A person squeezes out lemon on Shabbos to put into his tea. So it's considered it's a mashka. So there's an issue of taking out a mashka from its source, because its source was a lemon, which is an oichel. Now you're making it into a mashka. That's an act of schita, of squeezing out and getting. There's no way of cutting a lemon in half. It's oichel and oichel. I want to cut a lemon in half. I have 2 pieces of lemon now. Right? So halacha says if I can make my lemon juice have a loch of an oichel, it's also mutter. The issur of schita is when it started out, there is being held in here is a liquid, and I'm extracting the liquid. But to cut it into 2 pieces of oichel, it's not a problem. So how do you differentiate? So we pass a mash, well, habola oichel ke oichel dami. If it goes straight into an oichel, it's considered an oichel. If it goes into a mashka, it's considered a mashka. If you squeeze it into a spoon with intent to put it on the fish, that's where it becomes questionable over there. So you're saying over here, the guy, but this is a loch, that's enough to say it's called an oichel. It never became a mashka, because you weren't planning to use it for mashka, you're planning to use it as an oichel. A similar type of idea. Test of shemen. Hano shemen zayis. To return on olive oil. Masha shashwanim enim b'chal mashke. But if you have cottonseed oil or rapeseed oil or any of those, all those oils, canola, right? Canola oil, vegetable oils, those are not a malach of a mashke.
Because?
It's a fruit juice.
That's good.
It's not there, but any other fruit juice. Orange juice is not a mashka in halacha.
Because basically in the Torah, whenever it refers to shemen, it means shemen zayis.
Right. Cholov. Now, who did mei cholov v'chema kishini moicho? Mei cholov is whey. So if you separate your curds and the whey, so the whey still has the halacha of being a liquid. Or chema, if you have butter, once it softens, it's part of the milk, so if it softens enough that it's functioning like a liquid, it's considered a liquid. If you could dip bread into either of those things, you would have to wash your hands. You know, but if the butter is hard, it's Ain't tzarich lito yalav, you don't have to wash your hands. The chema krusha habikayachol. Right now, it's considered a food.
You have to wash
you fry something in butter. If it softens when you fry it, the butter becomes liquid. So if there's still liquid, it's still liquidy. Tzarich lito yalav, you'd have to wash your hands. Now, v'chayalim kosos, he makes again this type of a discussion. The da'aka kashini moich hachema b'machvas b'shas ha'tigun karim sheniach oichol l'soich oim anas alei shem mashkem ikarim. It's only if the butter melted before you put in the food. Alba kashini moich hachakach, but only melted after you put in the food. Kamal d'mashkem b'ol l'sakan oichol k'ocholu. If it goes straight into the food, it's considered a food. So it was a food, it was an oichol when it went in as butter. And when it went into the food, it's also part, it's part of the food, and it's vayter, it's an oichol. If you fry it in fat, or mebayim, or in egg white, that's not considered a mashka. Let's see. Let's hold it here. Benji, have a good night.
Bless the fall. Where's the fall?
Okay, take care. Have a good night.
Rabbi, Monday you're going to be at
us. So Monday I'm away.